Good morning, listeners. I take this privilege to wish you a happy new year. Thank you for your loyalty to the Grace Hour broadcast throughout the years. I wish for you, your families, and loved ones a prosperous 2022 involving increasing growth in your relationship with God that will enable you to fulfill your purposes in life. Today, I will begin a series entitled Lessons for Life from the Book of Daniel. The purpose of this series is to address issues in the church, society, and our personal lives from the perspective of the scriptures so that we can know the mind of God and respond in meaningful ways through repentance and change. According to Hebrew tradition, the book of Daniel bears the name of the author whose name means God is my judge. Throughout the book, he received revelation from God through visions and dreams. Daniel bridges the entire 70 years of the Babylonian captivity of the people of Judah, who were exiled because of their disobedience of God's laws and descent into idolatry and other detestable practices. The long-continued sin of the Judeans without national repentance eventually led to God's judgment, for which the prophets Jeremiah, Habakkuk, and Zephaniah had given fair warning. Earlier, Isaiah and other faithful prophets of God had also trumpeted the danger. The captivity in Babylon lasted around BC 605 to 536, as indicated by reference to Daniel chapter 1 verse 1 and Daniel 9 1 to 3. Daniel was God's mouthpiece to the Gentile and Jewish world, declaring God's current and future plans. The book represents in the Old Testament what Revelation is to the New Testament in a prophetic and revelatory sense. Daniel's message is relevant today because it speaks now to the nations, as it did then, of the sovereignty of God and His plans for the world. Some parts of the book are so accurate in their portrayal of history that critics have argued that it must be a forgery, positing that Daniel could not have written with such pinpoint accuracy hundreds of years before the events occurred. This is particularly true of chapter 11. As a teenager, possibly about 15 years old, Daniel was kidnapped from his noble family in Judah and deported to Babylon to be brainwashed into Babylonian culture for the task of assisting in dealing with the imported Jewish population. There he spent the remainder of a long life, 85 years or more. He made the most of the exile, successfully exalting God by his character and excellent service. He quickly rose to the role of statesman by official appointments and served as a confidant of kings as well as a prophet in two world empires, the Babylonian and the Medo-Persian empires. Today, we begin with the capture of Jerusalem by King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, and some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought articles into the treasure house of his God. Then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and of the king's descendants and of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. Now from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Ananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar, to Ananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Daniel 1:1-8. Three significant things are mentioned in this portion. Daniel and his companions were uprooted and transported to Babylon. As conscripts, they were subject to the will of their captors. One, they were chosen among a group of men meeting certain specified criteria to be trained for official duties, rather like elite civil servants. The required qualifications included being physically free from bodily blemish or handicap and being handsome, that is, a pleasing appearance in the public eye, mentally sharp and socially poised and polished for representing the leadership. Two, their names were changed. A key factor in the brainwashing process of the Babylonian training was a name change. This was to link the inductees to local gods rather than to support their former religious loyalty. Daniel means, God is my judge. He became Belteshazzar, or Bel, protect the king. Ananiah, the Lord is gracious, was changed to Shadrach, command of Aku, another Babylonian god. Mishael, meaning who is like the Lord, was given the name Meshach, who is, what is Aku. Finally, Azariah, the Lord is my helper, became Abednego, servant of Nego. The third point here, the diet was changed. Eating from the king's menu was an uncommon privilege, and Nebuchadnezzar assigned to his captives a daily portion of his food and wine. Verse 5, the trainees were appointed meals from the king's cuisine. For all intents and purposes, this was equivalent to eating at the king's table, a high honor indeed. However, Daniel saw it differently. The youth were being treated as men of stature and potential, but Daniel knew what the king's table symbolized. The agenda was to make him a Babylonian at heart, to make him transfer allegiance from Yahweh to this foreign king. So Daniel resolved not to defile himself. Furthermore, the pagan food and drink were first offered to their idols. To indulge was to be understood as honoring these false gods. Daniel purposed in his heart not to engage in compromise by being untrue to God's call of absolute commitment. Also, foods that God's law prohibited, according to Leviticus 11, were items that pagans consumed. To partake then entailed direct compromise. It is not so much something in the food that defiles, as much as it is the total program of assimilation. At this point, the Babylonian government is exercising control over every aspect of their lives. They have little means to resist the forces of assimilation that are controlling them. They seize on one of the few areas in which they can still exercise choice as an opportunity to preserve their distinct identity. He made this known to a chief official who was fearful of an alternate diet. If Nebuchadnezzar discovered Daniel's diminished appearance, he would surely punish the official. Despite this setback, Daniel convinced a guard to give him and his three friends a 10-day test of nothing but vegetables and water. You know, some 45 years ago, I first visited the then Michael College, and there, affixed under the bust of an anti-slavery activist, Thomas Fowell Buxton, I saw these words inscribed, which have never left my mind. The longer I live, the more I am certain that the great difference between men, between the feeble and the powerful, the great and the insignificant, is energy, invincible determination, a purpose once fixed, and then death or victory. That quality will do anything that can be done in this world, and no talents, no circumstances, no opportunities will make a two-legged creature a man without it. Commitment, invincible determination, fixity of purpose, dedication. There is a clarion call to commitment. In a world consumed in compromise and lacking in conviction, sadly, we see lack of commitment to values even in the church, in government, and society at large. In Jeremiah 6 and verse 16, God says, "Stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls." But they said, "We will not walk in it." Peter S. Pute, a sociologist and a Roman Catholic deacon, writing in the Gleaner on Friday, December 24, 2021, stated, "Some years ago in this column, I, tongue-in-cheek, proposed Bernanke for Jamaican national hero. I felt and still feel that he is a real-life hero of many people in this country, especially in government. If people admire Anansi for his one-upmanship and for his generalship and for how he always manages to benefit other people's expense, and if they spend their lives trying to be like him, then in their heart of hearts, Anansi is their real model. And if enough thousands think so, then maybe Anansi is Jamaica's deep down bona fide national hero." It is said that if you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything. It is high time that the Church of Jesus Christ, Christ's followers in this nation, Jamaica, land we love, take a concerted stand against issues like corruption and cronyism, child abuse, and all the evils that pervade our country by first cleansing our acts through genuine repentance and commitment to living God's way. We must not exalt the ordinary mundane. We must not put in places of honor that which is substandard. We must strive for excellence. We must dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, and dare to make it known. Daniel was a young man with an unwavering commitment to his God. His heroes were the heroes of faith, as outlined in Hebrews chapter 11. Moses and David, Samuel, Elijah. I challenge every listener, young and not so young, to a commitment to God through Jesus Christ. Answer the call today and be transformed. Then go make the difference that you would like to see. Daniel purposed in his heart. He was committed. He stood by his values. He would not defile himself. it is time for the people of God to stand up, to take a stand, to decide wholeheartedly, we will not bow, we will not adopt false values. We will stand by that which is right. We will lift up the standard and we will die for the standard. Next week, we will continue this series by looking at the consequences of commitment.